Today's episode is brought to you by Beauty IQ Uncensored.
Welcome to a very outspoken Christmas. It's that time of year to crank Mariah Carey in the car and begin your Christmas shopping.
Our names are Amy Kate and Sophie Tauber. We're identical triplets, and during the festive season, we have an identical opinion. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. In this special series, we're discussing all things Christmas with help from some influential Australians.
Four for you, Glen Coco. You go, Glen Coco.
And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of A Very Outspoken Christmas. We are so excited to be joined in this episode by Joe Fleming and Hannah First from the Beauty IQ podcast.
I've literally got my notepad at the ready for this one because I really need some of these beauty tips for Christmas because my beauty routine goes all out of whack. I mean, you don't know what day it is in the lead up to Christmas and the time after that.
Oh, I'm already stressing about when I'm going to fake tan because I've got these events coming up and it's just becoming very confusing. So hopefully Joe and Hannah will be able to answer all those questions for us. Now, Sophie, how has your week been Christmas-wise? And we've got to mention, Amy is an absentee during this intro. She is busily cleaning her house because she has a rental inspection tomorrow. I am not envious of her in the slightest.
Well, I think it's pretty poor form. I think she's getting a bit of Grinch status here, missing out on the intro.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't she just pull herself away from the cleaning? Well, anyway, as I said, Soph, what have you been up to this week, Christmas-wise?
Well, with our cousins, we have set ourselves the task of doing a Christmas activity each week. And this week, it was Christmas cookies. As you heard on Tuesday's episode, we went out, bought the cookie cutters. And my God, I don't mean to toot our own horns, but the cookies we made look professional.
Oh my gosh, I actually had so many messages on Instagram. I say so many, probably like 5, of people being like, oh my gosh, did you make those? And I was so pleased because they did look really good. And we've got to admit, they were actually pretty easy to make. It was just this fancy fondant rollout icing and the cookie cutters that made them look so good.
I definitely recommend if you are looking for a Christmas activity, this is one that really gets you into the spirit because not only are you eating yummy Christmas food, but you're also able to play music while you're doing it. You can catch up with friends.
I feel like the cookies would also be a really great gift if you were on a budget and looking to give someone, like, you know, a friend in the office or a grandparent. I feel like there's a lot of effort that's gone into them, but they're quite cheap to make.
Now, this week in Adelaide, our restrictions have been lifted, which we are so excited about. So it means that we're allowed to have 50 people over to our houses now, which means that our annual white party is still going to go ahead. Before, it was only 10 people, which, I mean, we weren't dissatisfied with because it would have been a cooler small group.
Yeah, we've still got to bloody send out our invites. I keep reminding Amy and Sophie on our group chat that we haven't done that yet, but then we get really lazy and leave it to the last minute, so it might be a small group after all.
But my heart really goes out to the Kardashians. Now, I was very upset and disappointed by this one. The Kardashians' annual Christmas party is off because of COVID. Now, I'm in two minds because, yes, I've been quite outraged that Kim traveled for her 40th birthday, that Kendall had her Halloween party.
But it was their 25th birthday.
Sorry, well, 25th slash Halloween party. But for me, the Kardashians' Christmas Eve party almost feels like a Christmas tradition of mine. I love looking at their Snapchat stories. What did they wear? How extravagant was it? It reminds me of our white party is a cheap version of what they do.
I don't know if you could compare the two events. I saw something crazy that Kim Kardashian spent $1 million when she hosted the Christmas Eve event. And Kourtney Kardashian spent $440,000. We're definitely not operating on any budgets like that.
No, but there's a theme.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty surprised to see that this is the first time since 1978 that the Kardashians' Christmas Eve party won't be held. I too am really disappointed because I love looking at all their Instagram stories on Christmas night because that's how the times kind of match up. However, with California recording over 1 million cases of COVID as of Sunday, I think it's a wise decision.
Yeah, definitely. I think they have made the right decision there and they did receive a lot of backlash for the other two parties they held. I definitely think it's the best thing to do and hopefully doing that, maybe we can look forward to having a somewhat normal Christmas next year.
Well, talking about extravagant parties, I feel like the stress is starting to build of what to wear at Christmas parties and on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I went wrong last year. I wore something that was incredibly uncomfortable. Like, I thought it looked pretty nice, but very uncomfortable.
This is on Christmas Day, isn't it?
yes, this is for Christmas Day. You want something that's a bit looser for Christmas Day, I feel. And I usually am quite prepared. But when my cousin told me that it was literally 2 weeks until Christmas and our white party, I started to panic a little bit because I have no idea what I'm going to wear.
Look, for the white party, I find it really easy because obviously, as the name suggests, we always wear white. So I'll literally just wear the same dress I wore last year. However, I am stressing for Christmas Day. I've had a real revelation as I've been packing to move house that I literally hate every piece of clothing that I own. However, now that I'm poor and also having to buy Christmas presents, I don't really have enough money to buy a whole new summer wardrobe, so it's quite stressful.
That's the thing though, sometimes when you do look in your wardrobe, you do unearth some nice dresses that you haven't worn for a while that you do rediscover.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I did find two dresses that I am yet to wear because they were meant to be for weddings this year and they're sort of more casual, they're not really wedding attire. But I feel like you need to test the dress out before you wear it on Christmas Day because as you said, you stuffed up and wore a really tight dress and then couldn't enjoy the food. I feel like a maxi dress would be really good, but I feel like we're too short to wear them.
Yeah, and the thing is, sometimes when you do dress up too much, you just feel like a dick. Like, yeah, you're just in your auntie and uncle's or your grandma's house and you're like, why?
Yeah, I saw this hilarious article talking about what to wear on Christmas Day and it said there's really two camps of people. There are the people that dress up glam just for the Instagram photo and then there are other people that just wear like comfy loungewear, which is obviously a bit of a trend this year with all the lockdowns that have been going on.
Well, that being said, though, I feel like for a lot of people, particularly those in Melbourne, Christmas is probably an opportunity to actually wear some of the clothes they haven't been able to wear. So I'm really going to look forward to looking at Instagram on Boxing Day, see what everyone was wearing.
I know, and it sounds silly, but it's kind of an opportunity to get a nice photo in 2020. I feel like no one is taking photos of themselves at the moment because, let's be honest, we're all wearing pajamas and activewear all the time. So, as you said, it will be nice to scrub up and look, you know, half normal on Christmas Day.
I feel like because Amy's not here, we can really throw her under the bus with this topic because she is one of those people that is not organized. Her boyfriend last year bought her clothes as a Christmas present because she kept complaining that she didn't have any clothes.
The best bit was he bought them from Catch of the Day.
And no offense to him, I hope he's not going to listen to this, but he bought her this polka dot dress. And if you know Amy, that's just not her style. Like, Amy's a bit of a tomboy. Look, she's a bit grungier with what she wears.
I would not have even, like, being her sister of 31 years, I would not have even picked out clothes for her. I mean, I don't even know what I want to wear, let alone what she wants to wear. So it was a pretty ballsy move by Dale.
But the worst thing was he was like, why don't you wear one of your new dresses on Christmas Day? And yeah, she kind of had to say that she didn't like any of the clothes and that could they be taken back. But yeah, the thought was there.
Yeah, exactly right. No, you've got to be pretty organized what you're wearing, I think. I mean, I feel like we're not really helpful on this whole topic. I mean, with makeup, makeup's one thing that I actually do love getting for Christmas. We were talking about it before. Like, it's so good to get a nice palette or something, like an eyeshadow palette, because you're not really going to buy that for yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I quite often get makeup as a Christmas present and it's always exciting because then when you're getting ready for Christmas Day, you can try out a new look. Sometimes you're not game enough though because you are under time pressure.
I still remember about 4 years ago getting a Kylie lip kit for Christmas and being so excited and then it was literally the driest thing I've ever used.
Oh my God, they were terrible.
It's so bad. I'm literally using the 4-year-old Kylie Cosmetic eyeshadow at the moment because all my decent ones have run out.
Now, as much as I love makeup, I am not a makeup guru, so I'm really excited to chat to Hannah and Joe about some of their tips for Christmas Day looks and also some of their Christmas gifting ideas.
Oh, you didn't say that was custard.
Oh, you want that custard, don't you, big boy?
Get the couch ready, because there's custard. I'm going to be a naughty landmark too.
Put screaming out for some custard. I made it from eggs. You ever had eggs? Oh, fuck, they're sick.
Thank you so much for joining us for this special Christmas edition of Outspoken.
Thank you so much for having us.
What I really love about Christmas is I usually get makeup as a present, so it gives me the opportunity to try and play around with a few new looks on Christmas Day. What are some on-trend makeup looks that we will be seeing this Christmas?
Yeah, honey, you've been experimenting a lot with trends lately?
Yeah, I actually definitely said, I reckon particularly anyone that has been stuck in Melbourne and Victoria, I reckon everyone will be having way more fun with colour. So a lot of Victorian makeup artists and even just beauty people that we know have just been doing a lot of coloured looks. So like really bold pink, orange, red eyeshadow, red lips. So I reckon that's going to be something that we're going to see a lot more over Christmas. What about you, Jo?
Yeah, I would agree. I was going to say glitter as well. Like you did a bit of a glitter vibe recently.
Oh, glitter, yes.
But I think the big thing that's going to be different this year is like colourful shadow and liner as opposed to bold lips. You know how everyone does like a bold lip on Christmas Day? I feel like this year it's going to be more of a coloured lid as opposed to a coloured lip.
Or both. I do both. Red eyeshadow with red lipstick. Why not?
What about Kylie Jenner? She recently launched a collaboration with The Grinch and there is a lot of green going on in the palette.
I thought that was really on trend for her, actually. Like, I mean, she tends to do those kind of limited edition collections where she's got, it's like very color themed. But I actually quite liked some of those shades in there. I would wear those. I got really into colored eyeshadow at one point and I haven't played around with it for a while, but I would totally wear one of those greens, especially as a liner.
If you've got hazel eyes with a little bit of green, which I do, I reckon green would look really nice. I think it would really bring out the green in your eyes.
Well, unfortunately, that palette's sold out, so we're all screwed. But,
Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn, the clean, cool chill of the holiday air, and an asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Now, in the lead up to Christmas, there's a lot of Christmas parties and everyone's indulging in a lot of rich food and alcohol, which can cause breakouts. What are your tips on combating breakouts during the festive season?
I would say that, you know, not everyone's skin reacts to dietary triggers. Mine personally doesn't, but a lot of people's does. I think it's just about being realistic. If your skin does respond to high sugar or high fat diets and you tend to break out from drinking alcohol and stuff like that, if you are going to be indulging, the breakout's going to happen anyway. But I think it's about treating the breakout appropriately so that the skin can heal, you know, using a salicylic acid product, something with niacinamide that's going to help to heal the skin and not picking at it or exacerbating the breakout when it does decide to come up. But if you're going to be drinking alcohol, you're going to be eating a lot of crappy foods, the breakout is probably going to happen anyway. So just try not to make it worse is my advice.
And something that I always do before a big event or if I've got a date on and I get like, for some reason, I always get pimples, like, you know, just one above your lip,
yeah,
like the day before a big date, always that happens to me. And I always then try to squeeze it and then it ends up a lot worse. So like try not to squeeze.
I always have to have a word to Hannah.
She does. She does. I actually put a red lip. I put a red lip on actually. If I've got a pimple just above my lip and I've got a date, I'm like, I'm just going to go red lip because then they're not even going to like look at it. They're just going to be like, why is she wearing a red lip?
I feel like we can relate to this. We've both gone off the pill. So our skin has kind of gone to shit at the moment. So I haven't
That's
had
a lovely way to put
it. I haven't had pimples since I was 15. So I'm like, God, what do I do about it? So it's good to hear some of your tips. And that I'm so intrigued to hear what your skincare routine is like over summer. Can you guys talk us through it?
Yeah. I mean, mine really doesn't change that much apart from dropping some of the richer moisturizers and oils that I have in my routine. It's more my makeup routine, I think, that changes more with the seasons because I get shinier in summer and I've got normal to dry skin. So when it's winter, I like to keep the glow that I've got naturally, but in summer it maybe tends to be a little bit too much. So I just incorporate more of a powder and a setting spray. But the thing that I do actually use a lot more in summer is my handheld LED device because I have rosacea and my rosacea flares up with UV and heat. So it's often a lot worse in summer. So I now have three LED devices. They're all different formats. One's handheld, one's like a panel that goes over your head. And I've just gotten one in the mail today that's like a mask that sits over your face. So I'm going to be thrashing all of those throughout summer. But I mean, SPF's all year round. So I never say that that's like part of my summer routine. That should be part of your routine every single season. So do you change anything, Hannah?
I think what I probably do more of is I probably add in more of like my glycolic acids because we've got more events on. So like I like to prep my skin, particularly if I start using more fake tan, like I'm using, like I try to exfoliate more often. So I'll probably add in exfoliate more often because what happens is you get all this buildup of fake tan. And the other thing that I like to get done, which we're getting done tonight, Joe, is blackhead extractions because my dermal therapist tells me off because I've got, he's like, you got to stop fake tanning your face. I'm like, nah, I've got to fake tan my face. And I just get this buildup of just blackheads. So adding some salicylic acid as well is another thing that I would do over summer. But also, do you find you get a little bit more dehydrated in summer, Joe, like your skin? Or not really?
Not particularly. No, I tend to get more dehydrated in winter. So that's when I up my hyaluronic acids and my niacinamides and yeah.
Now, Sophie has to ask the question about fake tan because she is the queen of fake tan fails. And it was quite hilarious because on Christmas Eve, she was actually so worried about looking like the Grinch because she looked very green with her tan on that she somehow wore her shorts inside out at Audi.
So I suppose this is one that stumps us every year. There's only a week gap between Christmas and then New Year's. When do you guys recommend putting your tan on?
Yeah, I had a few tips on fake tan. To get sort of the best out of your fake tan. So a few tips from me would be try to find a fake tan that fades really evenly so that I guess in between Christmas and New Year, you're not going to have like a really streaky tan. So it's going to fade really nicely. I actually use the Tuscan Tan self-tan foamer and Joe, it's like magical, isn't it? It just fades completely evenly. You wouldn't even know that you had put fake tan on. Another tip would be to use a gradual tan moisturizer in between fake tanning. So you can add that. So you might have fake tanned, wait 3 days, and then you can use a gradual tanner over the top. But I think for me, the best thing that I would do would be I would fake tan. I actually wrote down some dates here. I would fake tan on the 24th of December and then I would exfoliate and remove the tan on the 29th of December to reapply on the 30th of December. And my recommendation for removing your fake tan is to use glycolic acid. And I actually, this is a bit of a tip from me, is The Ordinary do a glycolic 7% solution that you can actually put a spray nozzle on the top of and you can kind of get those hard to reach places like your back or, you know, under your arms. And so I would kind of spray that all over my body and then that would really help to remove the tan because it's a glycolic acid solution. That's sort of my tip. Do you have any other tips, Joe, to add to that?
Yeah, no, I was going to say exactly the same thing. I don't think you can get through the whole Christmas and New Year with the same fake tan, especially if you want it to look really good on both occasions. But I actually used the Coco and Eve tan and what I did this week. So I tanned, I think, like last Thursday and I used the Tuscan Tan moisturizer, but they've got these little drops. So you can customize the depth of the tan by mixing it in with the moisturizer. So I basically made my own gradual tan with that and that helped to extend like the Coco and Eve one for like another 3 days because I just didn't want to apply it again before the weekend because I wasn't really doing anything major. But if you want your tan to look its best on both of those occasions, I would definitely do two applications. And Hannah's glycolic acid tip. Honestly, life-changing.
And then I actually had one more tip was Vita Liberata, have a 2 to 3 week tan. And a little bit of a fun fact was Bradley Cooper actually wore, do you remember how Bradley Cooper was like super fake tanned in A Star Is Born to make him look kind of like unhealthy? So that tan actually lasts a lot longer than a regular tan. So yeah, a little fun fact that Bradley Cooper was wearing that in A Star Is Born.
Yeah. Hannah's good for tanning tips, honestly. Yeah. She's the go-to girl for it.
I'm literally taking notes here like, as you guys are speaking.
I love the specific dates as well.
Well, I did do Christmas Eve last year, but that was a mistake because I used Bondi Sands and I literally put so much on that I was green and looked like the Grinch for our Christmas Eve dinner. But
also a green tan can also indicate that it's expired too. Ooh. So be mindful of that too. If you haven't use fake tan in a while and you decide to get it out for your Christmas party, just be sure that it hasn't expired because you will be green.
Oh, that's a good tip.
My tan must always be expired.
Some tans just do throw green though.
Yeah. Just another quick question on tans. What about people who have issues tanning their hands and then their feet? Because sometimes we joke that Sophie's feet are just overly tanned and just on the top of the toes and in between, it just looks gross. Sorry to throw you under the
That's
bus
right.
there, but she needs your help.
I actually have a great tip for this. Use a kabuki brush. And so what I do is I put a little bit of, say it's a foam tan onto the mitt, and then I get my kabuki brush and put the just a little bit, and then you can kind of paint it on your hands like you would put foundation on your face, and you can do the same thing on your feet. Coco and Eve actually have a kabuki brush that pairs really well with their fake tan. So, but you can just use like an old makeup kabuki brush that you have at home.
I love it. We'll be back with the rest of today's show. But first, if you are enjoying the conversation with Joe and Hannah, you must check out their incredible podcast called Beauty IQ Uncensored.
Gosh, this has literally changed my beauty routine. The girls share so many great beauty hacks. They talk about how to recycle your makeup empties. They talk about the secrets to growing strong nails. I'm literally obsessed with this podcast. I have been binge listening to it.
The thing that I love is that it is very uncensored, so no topics are off limits, a little bit like our podcast.
The girls drop an episode every Monday, and I definitely recommend all you beauty buffs check it out.
Dear son, happy Festivus? What is Festivus?
It's nothing.
When George was growing up, his father hated all the commercial and religious aspects of Christmas, so he made up his own holiday.
Moving on to serums. Now, our mum is so cute. The other day she asked us what a serum was because she heard that that's one thing that you can't skimp on. Do you guys agree with that advice? And can you fill us in, I suppose, for people listening who might not even use a serum at the moment?
Well, to answer your mum's question, what is a serum? If you compare it to like a moisturizer, it's just a concentrated, lightweight, thinner consistency. So it's able to penetrate the skin better than a moisturizer can. And often there's like a higher concentration of actives in there. But we do agree, I think Hannah's on the same page as me, that it is worth spending on some serums like retinols and vitamin C's, things that are a bit harder to formulate and keep stable because those ingredients can oxidize quite easily or go off quite easily. So you want to be able to spend the big bucks on those ones. And then you can probably save with things like hyaluronic acid and niacinamide. You can find those in brands like The Ordinary. But we both are cosmeceutical snobs, so we spend quite a bit of money on serums. We love our serums. So I do think it is worth spending the money on. And honestly, I feel like you'll see the results if you are spending the money on it, especially if you're shopping cosmeceutical brands. You're not kind of just spending on anything. If you're choosing your skincare according to your skin type and what concerns you want to treat, I'm pretty confident that you'll see amazing results.
For myself, I would spend more on vitamin C and retinols, and particularly retinols, because in the past when I first started getting into skincare, I was using kind of a cheaper retinol and it wasn't sort of formulated for my sort of skin, and my skin was reacting really badly to it and I was getting some really bad breakouts. And then I swapped to a kind of a retinol that also had some ingredients to like soothe my skin, and I found that my skin tolerated that a lot better. So they're the two that I would splurge on.
And how much should you be spending on a serum? How much is too much?
We're a lot of people to ask. We have no limits. One of the serums that we both buy is over $200, and that's a vitamin C. That's SkinCeutical C for all week. Hannah, you use C, Floritin CF?
Yeah, so that's for oily skin.
Yeah, so they're both pretty pricey. But look, I think there's so many different price points. If you shop brands like The Ordinary, you're probably not spending more than $15 on a serum. If you're shopping brands like ASAP, you're probably not spending more than $100 on a serum. Same with Alpha H. But if you're shopping brands like SkinCeuticals and Cosmetics, then you're going to be spending upwards of $150 on a serum. So it really does depend on your price range. There is a product to suit every budget. So skincare doesn't have to be out of reach for anybody. Brands like The Ordinary, it's particularly why I like this brand, is that the price point makes it accessible for people to get into skincare. And then once they learn their skin and they see the results, they're more likely to, you know, invest in more advanced skincare. So yeah, that's kind of why I like that brand. Gets people into it. I'd rather them use that than use
Well, I've got to say, you guys, we're doing this interview via Zoom and both of your skin looks amazing. So I think I need to go and get this $200 serum. That sounds good.
On the topic of beauty products, do you think it's safe to personally select skincare or makeup for family and friends as gifts? Or is that something they should be getting themselves?
Well, I was actually going to say, whenever I think of Christmas, like what do people buy for their family for Christmas? Have you guys seen that Oprah meme where she's like, it's like Christmas shopping for adults, and Oprah's like, you get a candle, you get a candle, everyone gets a candle. I reckon the easiest Christmas gift for the people in your life is definitely candles. But I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I like my sisters and my mum, because they've gotten so into skincare since I started working at Adore Beauty, they would 100% love like a limited edition skincare pack where they could try like the smaller versions of like all the serums. So that's probably my pick, Jo.
Yeah, I'd say as long as you are very close with that person, you might even already know what products they're using and you can just like repurchase that stuff for them, because nobody really wants to buy their skincare. Like it's something that you just like cringe when you're at the car and you're like, oh, I'm spending like $200 on this. So if you already know what they use, like replenishing what they use is a very nice gift. But as Hannah said, there's some like really good limited edition packs on the market, and it's a good way to get people into trying different things, because we do get stuck in our ways in using the same stuff, you know, every single time. We don't tend to branch out and buy new things, but you can't go wrong with a candle, can you? Like every time I give my friends a glasshouse candle, they're like, oh yes.
So we have like our favorite, Joe and I, if you got us Lumiera Cuban tobacco, we would be happy. We call that hot man smell, and it is seriously yeah. the hottest smell. It's like a very, very sexy scent. So anyone listening, that's what I want for Christmas.
I was going to say that. I suppose there's a difference between getting somebody a lovely $200 serum and buying someone some acne wash. Yeah. So probably just need to be careful with selecting.
Well, there's lots of nice gift packs. And I heard someone give the tip that you can buy a gift pack and then take the things out and give them individually to people. So you break up the pack and they can be good stocking stuffers. So,
oh, smart.
Just while we're on the topic of presents, we do have some male listeners. And what would your advice be if they're looking to get their girlfriend a beauty product?
Oh, yeah. I mean, fragrance is a good one, but it depends what fragrances they currently wear. I think you've got to kind of have a whiff of all the fragrances that they have. And if they like something really sweet, then like try and get them something that's got that same kind of, that's from the same fragrance family. Whereas if they love sweet and they don't really like woody smells, and you get them something like Lumiera Cuban tobacco, they're probably going to be like, I hate this because it's really woody and it's like almost a masculine scent. I mean, I would go fragrance or a candle again. I'd be happy with a candle. I don't have a boyfriend, but if I did, I'd like a candle.
I would want a limited edition skincare pack. That would just be exactly what I would want for Christmas. And I reckon anything from like Alpha H or SkinCeuticals or like the Ultraviolet have a really amazing SPF pack, where you can like, they get like a really cute makeup bag with it. Or Murad's another one. Murad have the best skincare limited edition packs too. So that's what I would want. And then the other thing I was thinking, Jo, was, you know, we've got those like at-home microdermabrasion kits, or like so that they can do their own at-home treatments. I reckon that would be a really good gift too.
Yeah, devices like the Foreo devices as well. They've got this UFO device and you put like a sheet mask on it. Yeah. Actually, that's a good one.
Oh, maybe. I've seen them. They're amazing. Yeah. That is a really cool one.
Or maybe even just for the hopeless ones, they could just go with a voucher or something to Mecca or Sephora. That might be
a
safer.
A voucher is lazy. Yeah. I'd break up with someone that got me a voucher.
Imagine if your partner, Joe, like went through like your whole skincare, like secretly went through and then bought you like a refill of each of your serums. That would actually be really thoughtful.
Yeah, I'd probably propose.
Yeah, you would propose. That. You'd get down on one knee and be like, okay, this is on.
If it was accompanied by a candle, by the sound of it.
That's right. And this is probably a selfish one for me. What do you guys recommend? What do you guys think is an appropriate look for Christmas Day? Because it's kind of hard because it's a hot day. Usually you're in the kitchen at some point or you're down at the beach. I feel like you've got to strip your look back a bit, but you still want to look nice.
Yeah, I think it totally depends on what climate you're in. It's easy for us in, you know, the south of Australia to say, you know, like, oh, I do a full face. But if you're in far north Queensland, it's better to keep it pretty simple. Maybe opt for like more of a BB cream or a tinted moisturizer as your base and powder it up through the T-zone, I would say. Use a good setting spray and you're probably going to be good for the day, as long as you don't have anything too heavy on, because that's when it'll all separate and that's when you're going to need to be doing touch-ups. So I always like to opt for something a little bit more light coverage, but That's just me. Hannah goes for a red lip.
No, this year I actually was thinking because I'm going to Byron Bay and I'm going to be in Byron for Christmas and I'm going to go really glossy and glowy. So I'm going to do like same. I'll do It Cosmetics CC cream, which has got, but I'll obviously do SPF as well. And then a bronzer and then probably a plumping gloss because I am hopefully going to have some sort of summer romance on the go. Because I'm not going to be with my parents.
Well, we've got Zac Efron. Unfortunately, Zac Efron's still in Adelaide. He's not back at Byron Bay. So,
girlfriend Joe and I have discussed this on our podcast. How I was like, we were going through all of the famous guys in Byron, and I was like, yep, taken. Unfortunately,
because they totally would have dated Hannah if they were single.
Of course, they would, Joe. We decided,
That's right. The only issue is proximity in all of these cases.
I think that's great girl code that you actually mentioned the girlfriends though. So I like to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be cutting someone else's lunch.
No. I mean, he would be a great Christmas present though. Yeah. But, yeah. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure to chat skincare and beauty.
Oh, I feel like I just want to pick your brain more, but we'll